ball game.
Welcome to the State of the Gamecocks podcast. Here are your hosts, Brooks and Drew.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the State of the Gamecocks podcast. My name is Brooks Davis, joined alongside by my co-host, Drew Bonds. Drew, how you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm ready to get down to Orlando and get the show on the road, quite honestly. The bowl game can't get here fast enough. I can't imagine being Liberty and having that wait to January 4th in the Bahamas. Must be some different kind of deal. So happy that they're going to get it out of the way this Friday, and hopefully they'll bring back a Cure Bowl victory. We'll get into all the Ohio breakdown stuff here as we go. But we got some coaching news first. We've got some portal news first, and then we'll get into that stuff. So to start with, for those that did not hear Monday morning, and trust me, if you blinked or ordered in the drive-thru or whatever, you would have missed it because it was glossed over very quickly on three-man front. But Bill Clark did, you know, we kind of knew it was trending that direction. We did officially say he was not taking the Jack State job. There was really nothing else said beyond that. The three-man front guys just asked him about, does he have anything lined up or anything he can share? And he said, for those wondering, or, you know, that was on everyone's minds, he said he's not taking the Jack State job. And then after that, they moved on to something different. So we kind of knew that was going to be the case, but we did get that confirmed Monday morning from Bill Clark. So whatever the reason was going to be, or whatever reason is that he's not going to be able to take the job, you know, we've heard mostly that it is Alabama State retirement stuff. We're not going to get into why that would have been affected. I don't think me or you, Brooks, understand it quite well enough to be able to talk about it. It had something to do with he had already paused his retirement once before. And if he were to take the Jack State job, this would be the second time he's paused it, and there's all kinds of issues with that via state legislature. So we're just kind of leave it there. But that was a lot of people. That was our first choice, Brooks, was Bill Clark, and he's not going to be the guy to take it. And we thought that was going to be a for sure deal. If Rich Rod left, they was going to turn around, hire Bill Clark the next day, and the program was going to move on, no issue, and they're going to have to go a different direction now. We did a whole episode last week about, you know, who they might hire and what that might look like. I don't know if those candidates are the top choices at this point in time. We've heard a lot of different names thrown out there, even from, you know, guys like Cadillac Williams and Justin Fuente have been the most recent. So nothing from the AD's office, nothing from Jack State about who they're even interviewing or thinking about hiring at this point. Just kind of hearsay and predictions from the fan base is all we've got for right now. But I would assume pretty soon after Friday's bowl game, as early as Saturday, we're going to hear at least something as far as who's being interviewed, who are the top candidates and that kind of thing. Probably just waiting to get the game out of the way, which makes a lot of sense. So, Brooks, you can give your thoughts on Bill Clark not taking the job and where you think we're going to go from here.
Yeah, I just to be honest, I really hate it. I hate that we're not going to end up with Coach Clark. I really thought that everything pointed towards him making a triumphant return to Jacksonville. But, you know, like you said, if that is the reason why, and it certainly sounds like it, everything kind of points towards it was complications with how his retirement was going to work out. You know, it's just one of those things. It can't really, I mean, you just can't do a whole lot about. And from his personal standpoint, I understand. You know, it's a very complicated issue that, you know, we really don't, me and Drew personally don't understand a whole lot about. We're far, far, far from the retirement age. So, you know, it's one of those things we don't fully understand, but, you know, it's a shame, but it is what it is at this point. I really would have liked to have seen what he could have done with more than 1 year at Jack State. But again, it is what it is. We wish him nothing but the luck, nothing but the best of luck. And, you know, if he is able to work something out to where he can find another coaching job, and if he is still interested in it, it certainly sounded like he really wanted to get back into coaching. And per our sources, it sounded like he really wanted the Jack State job, but just didn't work out. So, but we can't dwell on it too much. Like I said, there's a lot of other names that have been thrown out as of recent. Like you said, Cadillac Williams, Todd Bates, Rod Smith, even coaching the acting as the interim head coach for the Cure Bowl. All this and several. Gosh, if you can think of an open coaching name available right now, I'm sure they have been brought up in consideration for the Jack State job. But we really just don't know at this point. There's a lot of speculation, and there's a lot of well, this guy could come if this works out, and we'll just it's a lot of waiting and seeing right now. But I mean, we haven't heard any sort of official update. We don't know if they've conducted who they've conducted interviews with, if Greg Sites has conducted any interviews at all. So it's just we're kind of stuck in limbo right here. And but like you said, Drew, I think that we should hear something. I would think at the very we should start hearing something about the job. I would say no later than Monday. We ought to start getting some reports coming in and some rumblings about who we've conducted interviews with. So, you know, well, it's just we're kind of playing a waiting game right now. Obviously, the main focus is the Cure Bowl. I know that's kind of getting overlooked right now. As strange as that sounds, it's kind of getting overlooked by all this by the coaching carousel. But I mean, it is it's something that we need to get rolling on pretty soon. With the transfer portal opening up, and we'll dive into that here in just a minute. But the transfer portal opening up, we've already had pretty much our entire starting secondary enter the transfer portal, and we lost our leading receiver in Cam Vaughn. He's gone, sounding like he could be playing in the Cure Bowl, but nonetheless, gonna have to replace him. And you know, these are things there are very, very few off days in college football, especially with NIL and the transfer portal and everything. So yeah, this is something we need to get on the horn, pretty soon. But again, the focus is the Cure Bowl, but, and I'm sure I fully trust Greg Sites to, make the right decision, do what he thinks is best for Jack State football. Pick the best person that he thinks is most capable of picking up right where Rich Rod left off. I'm very interested to see. Like I said, I think by Monday, at the latest Monday, we'll start hearing some names, and I'm very, very interested to see how right we are on some of these names, and how way off we are on some of them, whatever it may be. But so that being said, Drew, do you have anybody in mind now that it's not going to be Bill Clark that you might like to see take over that coaching job?
The name Casey Woods has been thrown around a little bit, not a ton. He's the offensive coordinator at SMU, and that program has done really good in their first year in the ACC, and they've been a good football team for a couple of years now, and they have a really prolific offense. So that's a name to keep an eye on. I'm not sure he'd be my first choice. Cadillac Williams is also a name been thrown around. I hate Auburn more than everybody else, but I am open to Cadillac. I think he's a good coach. The players would really like to play for Cadillac. Again, he's a little bit unproven as far as he has very limited head coaching time in those four games at Auburn. So there's a little bit of a con to his his hiring there. Justin Fuente's been thrown around. Of course, you talked about Neil Brown. We talked about Todd Bates, even Rod Smith. You know, the Jack State's OC is going to be the interim head coach in Orlando was a name we talked about. So there's almost too many names being thrown around to make sense of anything right now. You know, it was Bill Clark, and then all of a sudden, okay, it's not going to be him. Who's it going to be? And there's been so many names brought up that I don't even know which way's up at this point. So for me, it's going to kind of be a wait and see who the candidates are, and then maybe pick from that list. I thought I was the only one that was crazy enough to say it, but I even heard Skip Holtz's name uttered by somebody else. So I don't know if Lee planted that name in someone else's head on Twitter and then it got said, or someone else has the same idea that I do. So we'll see as we go. I mean, like you said, the bowl game's getting a little bit overlooked, and it really shouldn't. This is the prize for all the hard work the team did this year, winning their conference and getting to go play in this game. So that still should be our number one focus for right now. But losing the head coach kind of makes that difficult. So we'll leave it there. We'll certainly, right after the Ohio game ends, after the Ohio recap, we'll really start hitting the coaching stuff pretty hard again. And hopefully we'll have names narrowed down and can really talk about, you know, who we think it's going to be. But speaking of the bowl game here in a few days on Friday, the biggest storyline for Jack State that is not the head coaching change is easily the transfer portal and the state this defense is going to be in. Brooks, you alluded to it just a minute ago, but the defense has lost pretty much the entire secondary to the portal, as well as some guys up front. So we're going to kind of go through some of the guys that have been lost, especially the playmakers. We even have news on where those guys have landed, a couple of them at this point. So the big one on defense, or the biggest one on defense, was Zechariah Poyser. Was tied for the team lead in interceptions, played free safety the entire year, was an all-conference or first-team all-conference guy. He is already committed to Miami. And then Fred Perry, the strong safety or that star position, he entered the portal as well. Now, he was a later enter into the portal than Poyser was. Poyser entered basically the day after the conference championship game wrapped up. So Fred Perry entered a few days ago. Again, rumor is some of those guys or some of these guys I'm going to name is going to play in the bowl game. I don't know who those guys would be. But the rumor is a few of them will be on the field, and I would really like Fred Perry to be one of them. I think he was the most valuable defender Jack State had, but he has entered also. Reggie Hughes has entered. He has already committed to Colorado. Lelete Hill has entered, Jabril Alameen has entered. Lelete Hill has not entered. He's a senior, but Jabril Alameen has entered. Jabari Mack has entered. T. Denson has entered. Fred Davis has entered. All of those guys played, you know, meaningful snaps on defense. Those are your two starting corners in Jabari Mack and Fred Davis. So the defense is going to look very, very different against Ohio, from, you know, especially the secondary, but even up front, because, you know, Jabril Alameen and Reggie Hughes have already entered. Reggie Hughes has already committed to Colorado, so I know we won't see him in the bowl game. You could see Jabril Alameen, I guess. I don't know if that's one of the names that may get to play. We didn't hear any names of guys are going to play. We just kind of heard that some of them may play in the bowl game. I think Caden Veltkamp, who entered for Western, is going to play in their bowl game. So that's something that's going on throughout the country. But then on offense, you already said it, but Cam Vaughn has entered, the only offensive player, the only starter on offense that has entered so far. And that's a big loss for Jackson. He was a redshirt freshman. He's got 3 years left after this year, and he was the team's leading receiver, you know, in his first year playing. So That was a guy I really hoped they'd hang on to for at least another year or two, but he's gonna enter the portal. Also, rumor is he may get to play. I know he traveled with the team to Orlando, or at least that was Thomas Ashworth had that he did travel. I would imagine if he's going to travel, he's going to play. Can't imagine to get on there just to sit. So likely that we'll see Cam Vaughn play, which is a really, really good thing. So the offense should be there as a whole. And we're going to get into kind of what that means against a good Ohio defense in a minute. But Brooks, you can give us your thoughts on all these guys entering, who you think might play, and what the defense is going to look like.
Yeah, it's It'll be interesting to see who all did go down that has entered the transfer portal and who all has already made made the jump to somewhere else. Like you said, Cam Vaughn, we did make the trip. Cam Vaughn did make the trip and 99% sure he's going to play. So that's really good to see. So the offense will look pretty much the exact same as what we've seen throughout the season. Still going to have Trey Stewart. Still going to have all those guys. But the defense, it'll be really interesting to see who we hold on to and who's already dipped out. And we'll get to our full game preview here in a minute. But it is fortunate, Ohio reminds me a lot of us. Very, very option based, very run first, pass when you need to. But you go back and watch that MAC championship game that they had against Miami, Ohio. They threw for more than plenty to keep Miami honest. Their quarterback, Parker Navarro, threw for, I think he was 20 to 27 and 270 yards and two touchdowns, maybe even three. Very, very solid quarterback, very good through the air. So I think that while that's not the passing isn't, the name of their game, it's certainly a pretty decent element. In terms of who, we can probably look forward to seeing if some of those guys don't play. I think we could probably see Marco Baker should still be there. Who else? Kenny Solomon. He might get some playing time.
Antonio Carter is a senior, so he'll play.
Yeah, Antonio Carter. Fred Davis. Or you said Fred Davis transferred. Derek Carter. Could see him. I'm trying to think of some other guys. Travis Franklin, he played a little bit. It's not going to be the Fred Perrys and the Zechariah Boyd. I don't think that, we saw play about 95% of the defensive snaps this year. There's going to be some guys that, got in for three or four plays here and there, each week, I think so. But on the upside, like I said, this Ohio team reminds me a lot of us. It really looks a lot like how we operate on offense. So, and I'm sure, there were several weeks in practice, Rich Rod had the twos and threes going up against the ones trying to keep, keep that next man up mentality in case somebody got hurt or wasn't performing well. So I think these guys who are coming in, I think they'll be more than ready. I think they'll be more than prepared. And it's going to be a little bit of a lack of experience thing, but I think they'll be able to adjust pretty quickly, knowing what they're going to be facing, because they pretty much practice against it every week. So I'm not too stressed out over it. And if we can get a couple guys who did transfer, who are transferring to play in this game, Fred Perry, Zach Poyser, then I think we'll be more than fine. But I'm not super duper stressed out about it.
I agree. What I do kind of want to see, and what I think I'm going to learn is this is a big game for Luke Olsen. Your head coach who, hired Luke Olsen away from TCU to Jack State, leaves, and then a lot of your defense hits the portal, and you know, we saw the defense play really bad the first 3 weeks of the season, and then they played, you know, pretty good after that, even great at times. So if Luke Olsen can get this defense ready to go and they have a game that, you know, looks like the starters are on the field and it looks like what they did down the stretch, I think that would really bode well for Luke Olsen and give the fan base a lot of confidence in his ability starting next year. Because yes, Rich Rod's an offensive guy, but you know his hand is in the defense also, and this will be a big game for Luke Olsen to really take 100% total control of the defense and kind of see what it looks like. So we'll be interesting to see that also. But like you said, this Ohio team does remind us a lot of ourselves. Their team is going to run the ball a lot. They can throw it, like Brooks said, and air the ball out to move the football. But it's a run first offense. Their quarterback Parker Navarro threw the ball for 2,100 yards this year, 12 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. What's interesting about that? He threw the ball for 2,200. Their backup threw the ball for 271. So about 2,500 yards in total, and they've got a receiver with 1,100 yards. So they've got one receiver who's accounting for nearly half of the team's receiving yards. His name is Coleman Owen, and I think if this secondary can game plan and stop Coleman Owen, that may shut down the Ohio pass offense. Now, Coleman Owen went over 100 yards six different times this year, so almost half the games he was a 100-yard receiver. So he is a guy who can really move the ball through the air, really extend the field through the air for Ohio. So if they can kind of shut Coleman Owen down at wide receiver, that will probably give the defense a little bit of an easier time in stopping the run, because it should make the Ohio offense a little bit one-dimensional. They are a top 20 rushing offense in the country. It's like we said, a lot like Jack State in terms of how they choose to move the ball. But they do have one elite wide receiver in Coleman Owen, which you guys will see. And that'll be the main threat through the air. And I think if they can limit his production in this game, that's going to really help out the front seven in stopping the run. But like we said, Parker Navarro will be quarterback for them. He's thrown the ball, like I said, for 2,100 yards on the year. He's also ran it for 943, so a lot like Tyler Huff, a dual threat guy. And their leading rusher is Anthony Tyus III with 1,111 yards. So 1-1-1-1 on the yardage for Anthony Tyus there. But those will be the main three guys for the Ohio offense. And I think that the key to stopping the team may be try to keep them running the football. You know, the pass is what hurt Jack State this year when the defense was bad. And if they can limit Coleman Owens' production and make Ohio run it, I think that will give them the best shot to keep the Bobcat offense in check. Now, like we just said, you know, 5 minutes ago, there's a lot of new names in the secondary, so that's going to be easier said than done. But I think that should be kind of what we see is a lot of focus on Coleman Owen catching the ball and trying to force the Bobcat offense to run it, even though that is what they do best. I think that's what Jack State is set up best to defend. On the flip side of that, the Ohio defense is really, really good. They're a top 20 defense in the country. They're a top 10 run defense in the country. And it's going to be the best run defense Jack State's played all year. And that would probably include Louisville, quite honestly. This unit is really, really good against the run. They give up just over 100 yards a game, which, like I said, is a top 10 mark in the country. And, you know, we saw Louisiana Tech's front seven slow down Jack State's rushing. This Bobcat defense should be capable of doing the same thing, which is why the prospect of Cam Vaughn being able to play is so big, because Jack State may have to throw the ball more like we saw against Western Kentucky in that conference championship game to come away with a win. Now, they didn't need to throw it against Western to win because they boat raced them. But this is going to be a different game. This is a good Ohio team, 10-3. They won the MAC this year. They, you know, their schedule's not very difficult. Like we said, they played in the MAC. The only common opponent they have against Jack State was Eastern Michigan. They did beat Eastern Michigan pretty easily. But the Jack State team that played Eastern was not the Jack State team that we saw the rest of the year. We all know that for sure. So for me, keys to the game for Jack State, it's going to be try to stop Coleman Owen at wide receiver, and that should force the Ohio offense to be very one-dimensional, hopefully, And I think that'll be the best way they can get off the field. And then from there, I think Tyler Huff's going to have to throw it because this is a good Ohio rush defense. Whether that is to Cam Vaughn if he plays or if not, you know, Michael Pettway, Sean Brown's healthy enough to play from what I understand, even after the injury against Western Kentucky in the title game. You know, we'll see Flip Rudolph a lot more if I had to guess in the receiving department, Jordan McCants, those guys. So everyone's got to step up and help out in the pass game because Ohio's going to make Jack State throw it. And if they can throw it like they did against Western, they'll have a good shot. If not, it might be a long day. So anyway, if you ask me, that's the keys to victory. Brooks, let you talk a little bit about Ohio and what you think they need to do. But for me, project number one is going to be to stop Coleman Owen and make the Bobcat offense, you know, run it primarily.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, and I can promise you they're going to be watching that on film. That, you know, the times that we have, you know, played in really tight games or and even gotten beaten, it's always been through the air. And if you can do that effectively, you can beat us. Western certainly did it. Now, down around the red zone was a little bit different situation. I thought we've had some pretty good red zone success defending the red zone. But just taking away those, you know, taking those big chunk plays, that's absolutely what still led to points. And I think Ohio is going to play a lot more disciplined than Western Kentucky did in that first trip to Bowling Green. So that could be a key difference. You know, they had several drives where they had two, three plays of, you know, 26 yards, 32 yards, 16 yards, and they, where they could have had touchdowns or more field goals, and it ultimately resulted in either a punt or lesser field goals because penalties kept taking one step forward and two steps back. So, I think it's definitely going to have to limit Coleman Owen as much as we possibly can. He's going to get the ball several times, and he's liable to have, you know, several big chunk plays. We can limit those chunk plays, similar to the Western approach. Limit the chunk in the conference championship game. Limit the chunk plays, and I thought they did a really good job of it. I thought. Defensive backs played a phenomenal game. So I think it'll be a similar approach on that front. And then in terms of the run defense, that's one that really doesn't stress me out much at all. I think, you know, even a running quarterbacks, and there's been some other stout running backs that we've played that, you know, haven't been able. Quentin Cooley had a decent game against us when we went to Lynchburg, but other than that, you know, if I use quarterback names are. I'm losing names at the moment, but if I use running back, didn't just run all over us. Hunter Watson didn't a ton. Caden Veltkamp didn't a ton in either game. So, you know, we've been a very, very stout rush defense. So but again, we practice against it. And I think that's where this game's going to play to our advantage. I think we're going to be more than prepared for their read option offense. On the flip side of that coin, they're going to be more than prepared for ours. So I think this game's going to come down to who does things differently the most and who does them the most effectively. You know, this game could come down to a trick play. This game could come down to, you know, who's taking deeper shots on third and five, you know, completely thrown on third and five, fourth downs. Everybody knows we like to go for it on fourth a bunch. Taking more risks. It's who's going to have that mental advantage of keeping the defense on their toes and not them not knowing what to expect next. because, you know, again, I think these are two very similar teams. I think those are two very good teams, with a lot of really good weapons, both on the ground and through the air. And I think it could go one of two ways. We're both going to know what to expect, and there ain't going to be a whole lot of points because they're both ready for everything, or, you know, both the advantages, you know, get busted wide open for both teams. Trey Stewart runs for, you know, another 600-yard game, 600 yards and six touchdowns. Coleman Owen has, you know, 600 yards receiving and four touchdowns, you know, whatever it may be. But I think it's going to come down to that one, which team is able to do the things that aren't commonly seen, or haven't commonly been seen, have not commonly been seen, throughout the regular season, whatever it may be. Like I said, trick plays, fourth down, swapping up the play calling, whatever it may be. But I think it's going to be a very good matchup. I think there's a good possibility we do see a lot of points. And I'm really excited for it. I think this is now the only non-playoff bowl game where two conference championships are playing each other with Marshall not or having to opt out of their bowl game due to not enough players on the team due to the transfer portal. So I'm really looking forward to this matchup. I think it's going to be a great game.
Yeah, I agree. And one last note on the Ohio offense. In all the games that Ohio scored 30 points or more in this season, there is one common denominator, and Coleman Owen led them in receiving yards, and he was over 100 in all those games except for one. So it's pretty simple if you look at what the Bobcat offense can do. Yes, they're run-first offense. Yes, they're a lot like Jack State. The quarterback's going to run the ball a lot. The running back's going to get the ball a lot. But when they score a lot of points, it's because Coleman Owen has over 100 yards and multiple touchdowns. In games that he doesn't, they don't score over 30. It's pretty simple. So if Jack State can limit what he's able to do and make this offense one-dimensional, then I think they have a good shot to hold Ohio under 30 points. And if you can do that, then you give yourselves a chance to win. Like, yes, they can always get beat 28-21 or 24-7 or, you know, whatever the score may be. But I think if this offense is, you know, everyone's going to be there, minus maybe Cam Vaughn, we're really not sure as of right now, then they can go out and score 35 points even against a good defense. So we'll see how it goes. But I think for me it's pretty simple. Limit Coleman Owen and stop the run, because that's what they're going to have to do if they can't throw it. So either way, like you said, Brooks, this is a really good football team. They won the MAC. They went 10-3. They do have a new head coach. I'm not sure we said that at the very beginning. I guess we meant to and kind of glossed over it. But this is a matchup of two interim head coaches, so that'll have some kind of effect also. Of course, we don't know what effect that's going to be on Ohio. We don't even know what effect that's going to be on Jack State with Rod Smith calling the shots now. So that'll just be another key to this game is which interim head coach has the keys to victory and the team prepared the correct way. So, like you said, Brooks, I'm really excited. I do think this is a game Jack State can and should win. I think somewhere in the area of a 31-28 kind of victory. It's going to be a close game, I think. You know, the Jack State defense may give up the big play or two because they have the younger guys or the more inexperienced guys on the field. But I don't think the offense is going to miss a beat. I think this team's going to move the football and score even against a really good run defense in Ohio, because I don't know what they've got in the MAC down there, but I just can't imagine there's a lot of Tyler Huff and Trey Stewart running around in that conference. So even though Ohio's, you know, run defense finished the season at a really high ranking, this is probably going to be their toughest test, or certainly will be their toughest test, because I mean, this is the number two rush attack in the country behind Army. So it's best on best in that term as far as Jack State's rushing and Ohio's run defense. It is best on best. And then, from there, the Jack State defense needs to try to limit Coleman Owens' production, like we've already said. So we'll leave it there. More than excited about this game. This is a huge bowl game for Jack State, certainly bigger than the one they played in last year. Sam Houston gets that New Orleans Bowl bid this year, so maybe they'll go down there and beat Georgia Southern. But for Jack State, this is a big step up in bowl prestige, I think. They're playing another conference champion, like Brooks just said, which is a big deal. And they already have one ugly MAC loss on the schedule this year. They do not want another one, if this is a much better team than Eastern Michigan. This is a chance to kind of right a wrong and show everybody that you really should have beat Eastern Michigan way back in September. So, Brooks, I'll let you – I know you got one little note on Rich Rod before we outro and get out of here, and then we'll see you guys hopefully on Saturday morning talking about a Jack State victory.
Yeah, I just kind of wanted to address something real quick. I've been seeing a lot online about people are upset, pissed off at Rich Rod for leaving. Look, I understand the guy got up at his press conference and said, "I have no interviews scheduled." People, let's be real. I understand Jack State is very much on the up and coming, and in terms of FES. And what Rich Rod, he was really building something really, really good, and left us in really good shoes, regardless, really good shape, regardless of who the next head coach is going to be. But the people getting on here and talking about, what a scumbag he is for leaving and lying to us, people, we knew, we started talking about this. This could be a possibility back before the season even started. When, we started, we knew that Neil Brown was on the hot seat at West Virginia. And if he was going to be fired, if he was going to get fired and Jack State had a really, really good season, and we did, that he was going to start getting phone calls and consideration from West Virginia for the head coaching job. And that's exactly what happened. I don't know why this became such a surprise to everybody. The only reason I can see it is because yes they did have a little bit of a falling out the last time he was at West Virginia to go to Michigan, and I totally understand that. But again, the guy's been to the very bottom and built his way back up to the top in his eyes. That's where he's from. That's where he went to school, it's where he played, that's where he coached, had tremendous success. I mean, like I said, if the opportunity was there, everybody and their mother knew he was going to try and take it. And again, for everything that he did for Jack State, led us to an ASUN championship, got our first ever win over Kennesaw in dramatic fashion. Won our first bowl game in our first year in as an FBS program. Yes, luck kind of played into it with not enough eligible teams making it or filling in all the bowl spots. But nonetheless, we won the dang thing, and now winning our first ever Conference USA championship and going to another really good bowl against a really good team in Ohio. Just for everything that he's done, and I'm not getting up here, saying, hey, we need to be, you should stop being mean to Rich Rod, but just, or just trying to, hold a shock strap for him or anything. But the hate is unwarranted, I think, for Rich Rod. We would not be, I really don't think we would be where we are right now without Rich Rod. But that's just my opinion on it.
No, I agree with you. I mean, that's something that me and you said, like you said, before the season started. We didn't make a big production out of it, but we kind of sat here and we said, hey, Neil Brown's probably out after this year unless he does something spectacular, and the way that Jackson football was looking, we knew we were going to be in the conference championship hunt. And we said, you know, there is a world where they hire him back. And that's exactly what happened. We said it at multiple times throughout the year, trying not to breathe it into existence, because we didn't want it to happen. But that's the reality of this sport, you know. Rich Rod is going to make triple or more money probably over the lifetime of his contract at West Virginia than he made at Jack State, and he's going to go get to play for a college football playoff spot. Now he does have a lot more responsibility, or I shouldn't say responsibility, but a lot more expectations, I guess, from the West Virginia side of the house as far as they're going to expect to be in college football playoff conversations or Big 12 title game conversations, because, I mean, that conference just sent Arizona State to the playoff. I mean, why couldn't Jack State go win that conference next year, quite honestly? I mean, that is the state of the Big 12 right now is in a really weird spot. I think everybody thought it was Utah's conference to lose. They were not a good football team. So the Big 12 is in a weird spot. It's wide open for West Virginia to go win that conference, get a playoff spot. So this is, like I said, not surprising. I agree with you. The hate is unwarranted. You know, it sucks that he left. And I think that if Bill Clark had already been hired, if Bill Clark was going to be hired, then I don't think that would be such a big deal, because the fan base knows what a great job Bill Clark would have done if he were to take the job. But I think since we've learned that Bill Clark won't take the job, then it's kind of gotten everybody a little bit sour about stuff. But it'll all be over. Jack State or Greg Sites and the AD guys are going to make the right decision. They're going to hire a great head coach who's going to pick the team up where they are and carry them to bigger and better things, and we'll all forget about it a year from now. So I am with you, though, on the hatred is a little bit unwarranted, because this team would not be where they are right now if it wasn't for Rich Rod and what a great job that he did. But beyond that, Brooks, I'll let you outro us here. We're only 42 minutes in. We went a lot faster than normal, so everyone's welcome for that. But Brooks, I'll let you outro us, and we'll see you guys, like I said, on Saturday morning, talking about a Jack State Cure Bowl victory.
Yeah, like I said, we don't want all the coaching news to overshadow what this team has done to get to this point and the upcoming matchup with the Ohio Bobcats. This is going to be a great game. This is going to be a very well deserved game, or well deserved trip. What this team has been able to do this year after starting 0-3 is nothing short of phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. I'm really excited to get to watch this game. I think it's in a really cool location. It's in a really cool location. I think the weather's supposed to be really good, and perfect for a. Everything's gonna shape up for it to be a great day and a great football game. We're gonna have to wait and see what exactly our complete team is going to look like, what the deal is with some of the transfer portal guys. But, we can only control what we can control. I think the guys that, some of these guys that are going to have to step up in the secondary, I think they're more than capable. I think they're more than prepared. I think we're going to go into this game pretty well prepared, pretty familiar with how Ohio runs things. And the news, the transfer portal and everything kind of soured, and Rich Rod leaving kind of sours everything leading up to this game. I really like our chances. Ohio's only a 1.5 point favorite. They didn't have a single player leave, enter the transfer portal, and we've had half our defense enter the transfer portal. So that should be a really, really good sign to me anyways. But yeah, looking forward to it. Think it's going to be a great game. I'm looking forward to, talking about this game on this weekend. And, I think we're going to be talking about a Gamecock victory, our second ever, in FBS history. But yeah, looking forward to it. We'll talk to you guys then, and go Gamecocks. See y'all.